Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand.
Now,
so could you please give us some good news on the show today? Some good news, because everything seems to be bad. And I said, you know, I was kind of thinking the same thing, but here's what I came up with for good news. Are you ready? We don't get into politics here on the RP Show. That's the good news. Homie, don't play that game. That's not what we do.
This is the Rod Peterson Show.
Yeah, it is. Good day, world. Welcome to the RP Show, Canada's daytime sports talk show. And hello to Canadian sports fans around the world. RP here. Moose DuPont there.
Morning.
What do you know, Moose?
You know what? It's a great day. It's a good day. It's always
it is
a good day, isn't it?
I got a lot of really interesting things to talk about today. So let's jump into the deep end Coming up on the program, our guests are longtime friend Andrew Hustler Patterson. You Winnipeggers, perk up. Hustler's going to be with us here in hour one. One half of the famed duo, Hustler and Lawless. Right, from radio fame?
Yeah.
Lawless is the guy that's down with the Vegas Golden Knights. And Hustler is in Winnipeg, host of the Afternoon Ride on TSN 1290. So I'm excited about that. And then in hour two, you lined this up. But from USA Hockey, Julie Robenheimer. And can you tell our viewers right now what they need to know about Julie Robenheimer?
Yeah, she's a hockey reporter, I believe, out of New Jersey. Covers the Devils, but covers Team USA in all aspects, too. So she's really big on Team USA, whether it's the World Championships, the World Juniors, usually travels all the time. So she came into my radar a couple of years ago. I think it was covering, you know, Team USA at the World Juniors, and she gets really deep on that. And so follows the NHL and hockey out of New Jersey. So that's cool.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. And by the way, did you have a look at our Instagram story today from the show account of the Team USA dressing room?
No.
At Rogers Place? You've been busy, I know. You've been on conference calls today, but we've got video from right inside USA Hockey's locker room at Rogers Place. It's pretty cool.
That's cool.
To our Instagram story, not right now, but later on and you'll see it. So anyways, that's our guest. And let's go to the quick six show topics. Please, Director Jordan, if you don't mind. Thank you. Monday Night Football, the third highest scoring Monday Nighter ever. And I'll be honest with you, the first half was a bit of a snooze fest. It was flag football. So we watched the same game then, right?
Yeah,
a lot of penalties. It was sloppy. I kind of drifted away for a portion of the third quarter. Can't remember what I was doing or what I was watching. I missed the whole Lamar Jackson running to the bathroom bit. He said he had cramps. He was doing that penguin run down the hallway that we've all done. Right?
You saw me in the airport last year, right? Same thing.
Yeah, it didn't look like he had cramps to me. I'm sorry. But anyways, he does come back to be the hero and save the day. And the whole, everything was great. I mean, the broadcasters talked about this as like Superman coming out of the phone booth and rallying the Baltimore Ravens to the victory, 47-42 over the Cleveland Browns in a game that Steve Levy actually said it best, the play-by-play voice of Monday Night Football. He said, this did not look like a game that was going to end up in last score wins.
I know.
And that's exactly what it was. But let me say this, because I did notice all the comments on, oh, they scored too early, they scored too early. The Ravens scored too early. Well, as you're looking at it going this way, and then the Browns scored too early going that way, then the Ravens came back this way. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
All within the last 90 seconds.
I know.
So I'm just sitting there going, in my time in football, I've heard it for a long time, this, they left too much time on the clock, and I think I know enough to know, and now you've coached football, I haven't, you score when you can score, you can't really score on schedule, but I thought, you know what, I'm going to ship a text out to a Canadian football head coach buddy of mine and say, what is your take on leaving too much time left on the clock? And did you see, no, you haven't been on Twitter all day. Here was his response, by the way. He says, it's avoidable, scoring and leaving too much time left on the clock. He said, Echeverry talked about victory offense all the time. The initial thoughts to run the ball or use high percentage passes so we can control the clock. But it's based on your confidence to be able to score. He says, I would rather our offense score and put the ownership on our defense to stop them. Well, there's two decidedly different schools of thought on that concept of leaving time left on the clock, too much time. Where are you on that?
Yeah, it's like, do you want to take the money in the bank or do you want to risk it, right?
Yes.
For the biscuit.
No risk it, no biscuit.
Right. And I think, you know, with Cleveland, they're not, Cleveland's not a, you know, snap the Thanos finger and we can do what we want when we want. I think if you're going to get points, you take the points when you can get them. If you're the Cleveland Browns, they're building that confidence, right? And, you know, color me a fan of Baker Mayfield right now. I mean, he's got some energy, some chutzpah, and it's fun to watch. But yeah, it's just, hey, Lamar came down and did what he needed to do at the end. Twice the MVP.
Baker Mayfield had absolutely nothing to hang his head about after that game. But it's just interesting schools of thought on leaving too much time left on the clock. And I'm glad to hear that my one thought isn't completely absurd. It's score when you can score and play defense. Wouldn't it be nice to predict the down, how you're going to score it, the time remaining? It doesn't work that way.
I know.
And then Etch's philosophy of victory offense, I get that too, but it sounds very complicated to execute in the fire drill that is the last 2 minutes of a football game.
Yeah.
Moving on. Point two yesterday was a very big news day in the CFL, and this is what I, you know, I was on a conference call this morning in my car just before I came in, so you know who it was with, and we talked a little bit about where things are going on this continent in the COVID environment, and it doesn't look that positive, but I said, well, the CFL made all these announcements, the Rough Riders announced their coaching staff yesterday. By the way, Tim Princeton was trimmed, I'm told, because of the, he was a cap casualty, so that's very unfortunate, but I expect he'll be coaching football somewhere next year. But you see the BC Lions brought back Dominic Rimes. The Argos signed three Americans. Like, it was like a, almost a concerted effort. It's like, teams, announce something on Monday.
Right.
You know? And so what I said to the guy on the conference call was, because his prediction for large gatherings wasn't very optimistic, shall we say. I said, I'm just going with it. I'm not going to sit here and say these guys are full of bunk, because I don't know whether they are. Nobody really knows where it's going, and even then it can change on the dime. Even the top doctors are changing their opinion, like we change our shorts. So let's just go with it. How are you on that?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough, right? It's tough, but things change. If you're going to change your opinion with changing circumstances, the world has never moved faster, than, and things haven't changed as fast as they do around here now. Right? I mean,
yeah.
The cases go up, cases go down. Deaths happen some days, they don't happen other days. So just hang on for dear life, you know, hang on for the ride, and all you can do is make the decisions as you go. It's hard to predict, and it's hard to stay consistent in a climate like this.
I'm going along with it. I'm keeping an eye on my checkbook, if people still do that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Being fiscally responsible and hoping for the best. But when I said yesterday that that light at the end of the tunnel, I fear, is a train, I'm not moving off that. People's expectations are so sky high, and I see no reason to believe that those expectations will be met. But you do you, right? And I'll stay positive, but fool me once, right? I've said it how many times on this show. Point three, I don't know if you watched the Raptors last night, because most of the TSN channels were on. I didn't watch any of it, but they beat Charlotte last night. So they're 2-0. 112-109. Wait a minute. I did watch some of it, because for the first quarter and a bit, I'm like, Malachi Flynn is the best guy on the floor right now. And then Fred VanVleet showed up.
He was good.
Right. So maybe he'll make us forget about Serge Ibaka and the big names that have fled Raptorville. Malachi Flynn, he looks really good. And my question to you and to you is, to the viewers, how much stock do you put in preseason games?
I don't put any.
You really can't.
You can't. You can't because you get so excited about, you know, preseason, but you play differently when nothing's on the line. You play differently when you're given more opportunity. Malachi Flynn's going to be given more opportunity, right? So he puts up points. You start getting really excited. And, you know, I hope he gets a role. Spicy Peas there. Fred VanVleet. There's some opportunities.
OG Anunoby.
Right. Like
from Halifax.
There you go. Like, there's some chance.
Yeah.
For the Raptors. So it's exciting that he's playing well.
Raptors got a nice thing going.
Yeah, they do.
You know, and the sum is greater than the parts, if you will. So they've lost some big names, not the least of which, of course, is Kawhi Leonard last year, but they drafted well with Malachi Flynn. So consider me in on the Raptors. And here's the thing about the preseason. If you win, it feels nice. Doesn't mean anything. If you lose, feels bad, but doesn't mean anything. So you can brush it off real fast. Yeah. And one of the things about preseason results I'll never forget is when the Detroit Lions went 0-16. How many years ago was that? Whatever it was, you can look it up, but they went 4-0 in the preseason.
Yeah.
So right there tells you all you need to know about preseason results.
That's right.
This is the warm-up, by the way. It is presented by the Four Seasons Sports Palace. You're home for the National Football League. Come in and warm up at the Four Seasons. To point four, the Cleveland Indians announced Sunday night they're going to change their name. And then it was on Monday they said they're going to go through the whole 2021 season as the Cleveland Indians and then change it for 2022. I think my thoughts on offensive team names doesn't need to be trotted out here again today. I've talked about that at length over the last year. But how do you feel about them going through another season? With the same name, because I saw Steve Phillips on TSN this morning, their MLB insider, just tearing the Indians a new one over, what are you waiting for? If it's offensive, why offend people for another year?
That's right. So to me, that says they're kind of changing the name just to appease people. They don't really want to change the name. And it's when I think about it, we're gonna go one more year with the Cleveland Indians. When I hear that, you know, the celebration season, the farewell tour, right? Celebrate the name for a whole another year. Well, if you're celebrating the name, why are you changing it, right? It's contradicting thoughts. If the name's offensive and you want to change it, it'd be better to go without a name for a year, right? But if you're just changing it to make people happy and you actually like the name, we want to keep it for one more year, sell off the rest of our merchandise, celebrate it, give fans a chance to enjoy the Indians one more time.
I like their gear.
Yeah.
A lot.
The feather and the
Yeah,
nice.
But, well, even with the C.
Yeah.
And Cleveland across, it'll make copies of the movie Major League even more must own.
Oh, yeah.
Or must see because it's gone. They actually did that? Chief Wahoo? Welcome to TP Talk.
I hope
all that stuff.
They can't cancel Major League.
No, they probably will pull it off the shelves. Here's the thing. My whole thing on the Cleveland Indians is I don't care. My whole thing about the Edmonton Eskimos is I don't care. But very clearly, you people all do. We had to construct this bracket.
I know.
And Clark said once we've named the Edmonton team, we'll move on to the Cleveland baseball team with a bracket. What the hell else we got to talk about? Moving on. Point five, Alberta's top doctor, Dina Hinshaw, green-lighted the World Juniors yesterday. And I will give her credit for having the lady balls to do that because I went and read the article on that. She stood up in the face of a lot of fire to say they're not going to break any rules. They're following the template set by the NHL. There's no reason to believe that the World Junior Hockey Championship in 2021 poses a threat to public safety. Play on, boys! That took some lady balls for her to do that. And I was also sitting there going, a prediction that I made that was actually finally right. Can you go back and find that clip where I said, they're playing? Remember when I said that?
I do.
Because this is Canada's version of college football. They're playing. Nothing's going to stop them. They're like Jefferson's Starship. Nothing's going to stop us. And they're playing.
This is great. It's amazing. And I know the heat that she's going to get. I know it. You know, it comes down to, you know, they're not going to break any rules, right? There's no reason to believe that it won't be safe. And, you know, John Doe and Joe and Jane Public are going to sit there and be like, yeah, but going and visiting my mom, we're not breaking any rules either. True. But you can't enforce that with, you know, millions of people in a province. It's easy with one event that's going to be on national television and they've got officials there and all the safety protocols. You're not doing that. You're not mapping out the plan and having certain people, control your bubble at Christmas dinner. So
yeah,
that's the part where it's tough, but that's what people will say. Well, they can do it. Why can't I? And I understand. So good for her for being able to withstand that.
Yeah. Lady balls.
Absolutely.
John in Edmonton writes in, he says, Edmonton, Cleveland, Washington had to change names. So, Rod, what WHL or NHL team is offensive? The Hitmen! It glorifies organized crime. Do you know the cost to society of organized crime? The Calgary Hitmen sends a terrible message to children and youth about glorifying organized crime. You know who's the only person offended by that? Me! Nobody cares. How come nobody cares when I'm offended, but everybody else is offended? We got to change names. Can you explain that to me?
I cannot.
Calgary Hitmen, very offensive. They are objectifying segments of society, capitalizing on addiction in drug dealing and prostitution, organized crime. The Calgary Hitmen are more offensive than any of these. Who cares? Just me. Okay. Point six. I left this blank for a while, and then I figured out what it was.
Okay.
Because they are playing hockey in some segments of the world, and that is the ECHL, formerly known as the East Coast Hockey League. Now they just call it the ECHL. I invite you all to, you people, to adopt a team in the East Coast Hockey League. I'm just going to call it that. I'm adopting the South Carolina Stingrays, as are you.
Yeah, of course.
Because our good friend Brendan Kotick of Regina is an assistant coach there. He was on the air with us last week. They got through their preseason. Nobody died last weekend, and now they're opening up this weekend. They play at the Jacksonville Icemen on Friday night, and then Saturday night, the Icemen are in South Carolina. Okay, in Charleston.
Okay.
It's the teddy bear toss night for the Stingrays, by the way. So we've got a lot of viewers. We're on television, on cable TV, and all across South Carolina. We get mail from the viewers down there all the time. So that is our team, the South Carolina Stingrays. And what did I tell you last week? I envision a day that we go down there and we drop the puck at a face-off.
That'd be great.
You, me, and Clark. And I envision a day that our mascot, Ricky the Iguana, goes down and has a fight to the death with their mascot at center ice. In some sort of promotion.
Whoa.
That might be suitable for pay-per-view. Has anybody told Alan the intern that yet?
What's Ricky's superpower?
We got to think about it.
Yeah.
There he is. What do you think, Ricky? He's in. We're going to take our mascot down there and fight theirs. With big Nerf swords.
It's like the Hunger Games, and Alan's ball just got picked. He's sitting at school, and his eyes just got big.
We're going to South Carolina! So, adopt a team, folks. Go to their website, echl.com. Ours is the Stingrays, which, by the way, on Boxing Day, the Stingrays visit the Greenville Swamp Rabbits. And if you want to follow hockey, if you're missing it, as my brother just said last night, you can buy, he goes, you should be purchasing a hockey TV subscription. Down there, they call it Flow TV, and you can buy it and watch it. So there is live hockey going on. Anyways, those are some of the things up for debate today. We're going to take a break and come back with Hustler out of Winnipeg. So I told you we had some heat today.
Oh, yeah.
It is Tuesday, December the 15th. It's episode number 381 of Canada's Daytime Sports Talk Show. We'll return in a moment. You're watching on Game Plus TV, Facebook Live, and listen live for Sud's Full Service Car Wash at rodpeterson.com.
Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram.
Broke.
Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
It is. Welcome back, everybody. Just ahead of Hustlerama, joining us from Winnipeg, Trent checking in from Norway. One of our 19 daily viewers in Norway. He says, Norway calling. One question on updates. What happened in the Korean Baseball League? The NC Dinos won it all, by the way, a couple weeks ago. You can go to the Korean Baseball Organization for the story on that. My Wyverns finished second last. I'm looking behind the camera because we have the standings point posted on the wall there, plus a life-size photo of our favorite player, the Big Donger from the Wyverns, Dong Min Han. And your team, what were they called?
Yeah, the Hanwha Eagles.
They finished dead last.
Dead last.
Dead last.
Did you see the championship trophy, by the way?
It's a sword.
The sword. A massive sword.
Oh, yeah. The Dinos won. And Kerry Hallett watching says, is Game Plus Network on Shaw? The answer to that, unfortunately, is no. And I won't say much more than that. You were worried, weren't you?
No, no. Why not?
But call Shaw, flood their switchboard, and tell them you want Game Plus Network. Because Game Plus has told us to do that.
Yeah.
So all you people in Western Canada, tweet Shaw, call them, flood their inbox, tell them you want Game Plus Network, and you will get it. That's all that it takes. But I know that we're on Bell MTS Cable in Winnipeg. We're live daily every day at 11 a.m. Central. Let's go there now to the Manitoba capital, the Slurpee capital. Andrew Hustler Patterson joining us today. How you doing, Huss?
Hey, Rod. What's going on? I actually just switched over to Bell MTS, and I do get the show every day now, so folks in Winnipeg can tune in as well. I hope you guys are well.
We're great. Great to see you back, by the way. You're sounding great on the air, and I appreciate the fact that we seem to have melted the ice that is that Manitoba-Saskatchewan border. We do have a lot of viewers in Winnipeg and Manitoba, so it is nice. But, man, do you have a take in any of those quick six show topics, by the way? Because Clark said you were watching through all of it. From offensive team names to a big news day in the CFL to the Monday nighter, scoring with too much time left on the clock. What did any of those resonate with you?
Well, tons. First of all, big LG Twins guy in the KBO. God bless the baseball nation. What a season they gave us this year. And yeah, my face melted a little bit with your hot takes on team names. I'm not sure it's really kosher to compare the plight of Indigenous people to organized crime, Rod. But I know you were joking, or at least I hope you were.
Somewhat.
You know, listen, I certainly get why Washington changed their name, and I get why Cleveland is doing it, although it seems they're being dragged kicking and screaming to do it, and it's a very strange decision they're going to go through this season. To be honest with you, that's where it ends for me. I mean, I think that there's an incredible heritage with the Chicago Blackhawks and maybe the most incredible logo in sports that I think really honors Black Hawk, who was named afterwards. And you know, then you hear things like, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs, which I'm a big team. I mean, that the guy that owned the team was nicknamed Chief. That's why they called it that. So, listen, sometimes people jump on things and take it too far, but I don't think anyone is worse off if Washington and now Cleveland changes the name. And to be honest with you, Rod, Washington, I think, sort of stumbled into something good. I mean, like, it wasn't like there was a lot of the merchandise flying off the shelves before. The organization was an embarrassment at pretty much every level. And now, you know, you move Ron Rivera in, you change it to the Washington football team, which is funny enough. I don't think they're going to get a name. I think they're going to stay with that. It'd be a very unique spot within the National Football League. But anyways, I mean, I get why some people are bent out of shape about a couple of them, but I think it goes too far when you just make blanket statements about everything. And we my God,
yeah, go ahead.
And just as far as the Monday Nighter goes, that's the worst beat I have ever taken in my gambling career. Any like hearts and prayers to anyone that had Cleveland plus three, because my God, the safety on the final play of the game will go down in the annals of the most sadistic ways to lose a bet in gambling history. It's going to take a long time to recover from last night, to be honest.
Hey, that was a big topic in our morning meeting here. Moose DuPont sitting here, by the way, and we have a new gambling partner here, Come On Official. Yeah. And I said, I don't want any part of making bets and telling people what to bet on. You're going to pick them, and then I'll just tweet them. But I need your take on this, by the way, because Neil Shuchuk's watching in Whitecourt, Alberta, and he says, I am having a tough time with the World Juniors being played, given the fact our families can't gather at Christmas. You must have thoughts on that, because it looks like everybody does. They've been green-lighted to play, Huss.
Well, listen, I mean, I am pro sports. I mean, I understand why the doctors and the epidemiologists are setting the rules up for us to get through this pandemic. There's a lot. I mean, we're getting ravaged right now. We were having like dozens of people die every single day here in Winnipeg, and it's an absolute tragedy. But, you know, if these same doctors that were supposed to follow, you know, their, you know, instructions are giving the okay for NHL players to come back and get ready to train in unique circumstances before starting the season, or the World Juniors to happen, like, that's great for all of us. Yeah, we can't get together. We can't have our big parties. At least give us sports to get us through this next little while. I honestly, this NFL season, I can't imagine what just my own personal, you know, happiness and ability to get through this pandemic if we didn't have the NFL for the last 3 months. Because, my God, Rod, you know, there's not much going on. And it's been an incredible reprieve, I think, for so many of us. And I mean, I know there's always going to be some people that'll complain about everything right now, and you can take any side of it, and there'll be wackos really on each extreme. But to me, I've got confidence and trust in the people that are hired to do exactly that. And if they're okay with the World Juniors happening, I can tell you what, I'm going to be tuned in on TSN throughout the tournament, and I'll be following it. Although I will say this, and I'm sure you'd agree, you know, fans are such an integral part of sports, and we've seen, you know, some sports do better than others without fans. The World Juniors without an atmosphere is going to be really, really weird to watch. But at the end of the day, it's about it's a great hockey tournament with a number of great young players that I think most Canadians are interested in. And I'm here for it. So I can't wait for the tournament, and I think we all really need it, to be honest with you.
Hustler, you nailed it. Wonderful answer, by the way. I mean, I wholeheartedly agree. But when you talk about your own happiness, we're talking about mental health. And through that sports vein, and Shuey is, by the way, a sports guy. He says, I'm pro sports too. Just this time just seems so wrong. Well, we're not all going to agree. And I've seen enough careers end. And because of mental health concerns, I've seen lives end because of this. So that's why I admire the lady balls, as I said, of Dr. Dina Hinshaw for greenlighting the World Juniors to say this is not a threat to public health. Play on. And yeah, you know what? That's what leaders do. They're not afraid to for a backlash. They make the decision that they think is right and they move on. Sorry, go ahead.
You know, listen, that's exactly it. I mean, you know, the reason why we can't gather together and do all the things that we normally do at this time of year and are missing big time is because of public health. It is to help save lives. It is to help stop the spread of the virus. To me, that's a very different thing than bringing people into a bubble in Edmonton. I mean, I don't think there's any argument you can say that we are less safe as Canadians that the World Junior Hockey Championships is taking place. I mean, there's going to be incredible rules, protocol. I mean, the same people were saying the same stuff before the NHL happened. I mean, you think of how many people, like, shut it down, don't play, it's not safe for the players. It was safe. I mean, they were proven right every single step of the way. And, you know, as I said, I realize this is a very crazy time, and, you know, you get all sorts of things in, especially if you're on social media, other ways. I mean, I think we have to just boil this down to this is an unprecedented in all of our lifetimes global health pandemic. We need to do the things that we can do to get through this as fast as possible. But in the meantime, let's trust the people that we're listening to when it comes to things that, you know, might actually give us a little bit of entertainment through this all. You know, if it doesn't hurt it, let's do it.
Just a footnote from Neil Shuchuk. He says it all just all comes down to money. Always does, Shuey. And in this instance, politics and fear are as much, if not more, have to do with it than health. But anyways,
World Juniors, Rod? I mean, listen, like, I realize that the World Juniors has been the cash cow that Hockey Canada has just squeezed out every single year. We've seen how this tournament has grown every year. And obviously, they've got a very lucrative partnership with TSN for all of their properties. But, I mean, if people think that this is going to be a massive cash cow with people coming all over the world to Edmonton, I mean, they're mistaken. How much did it cost the National Hockey League to put on the playoffs? Almost $1 billion. So, yeah. I mean, in this case, I don't really think it is all about money. You know, obviously, they might want to fulfill their TV commitment, but very similar to others. You know, I think it's important for these young players to get an opportunity to play. I mean, it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for so many of these kids. And will it be different? Will it be as good as it normally is with packed houses? No. But, I mean, it's still very important. I mean, the other side, I'm sure you guys have talked about this, on the whole pandemic with hockey and all sports being shut down in various degrees, you know, is what this does to these young players. And, I mean, again, I'm not saying I know why we're doing it, but, man, I feel for, you know, and this goes back to kids who missed their high school graduation and all that. But, I mean, really important formative years for young men that are hoping to play in the National Hockey League without their junior leagues going on right now. It's a great opportunity, and I'd feel terrible if that was taken away from them.
I love that we're talking World Juniors, but I'm going to swing it around. Our viewers want to know, what is that bomber thing behind you? What is that symbolic of there?
This is a thing for the final stadium.
Ooh.
The final year stadium, which in true bomber previous bomber management, I'll give Wade Miller a lot of credit for the way he's doing it. This was the tickets from the final season at the old stadium. And then, of course, the stadium wasn't ready. So we actually played an extra 8 games or whatever in the old one. But sort of a funny piece. But yeah, it's got all the tickets from the final season there in the old building, a place where I can tell you any fan, and probably a lot of your Rough Rider fans, had a pretty good time at some point back before we opened up IGF. And it's pretty funny. For those of us that have followed the league in this rival for a long time and gone to games in both cities, we're pretty lucky here on the Prairies right now, despite the fact we missed a season, to look ahead to the CFL getting back on. And we've got two beautiful stadiums, gems of the league, as opposed to the two dumps that we used to attend in the past. It's been a good time, although it's a dark time right now for the CFL. Looking forward to it. We have fond memories of the old places, but we've certainly moved up a few pay classes, if you will, with the new homes of both teams.
I swear to God, Bob Knuckles Irving and I used to argue over which stadium was worst, Winnipeg Stadium or Taylor Field, and now we argue about which stadium's better, right? And he thinks yours is, I think ours is, but you know what? That's the fun part of a rivalry. But by the way, we can talk about World Juniors, NHL, NFL, whatever you want. There's not a league that's been hit harder than the CFL by this pandemic. Would you agree?
I don't think there's any doubt. I mean, you know, he missed a season. And listen, I certainly around these parts in our two provinces, the CFL is, you know, a huge part of our sporting culture. It's not as much in some of the other areas in the Canadian Football League. And you wonder what the damage will be from that. But yeah, I mean, listen, I mean, the money's not the same in the Canadian Football League, and it's incredibly disappointing they didn't get something done last year. Although, to be honest, I still have some semblance of skepticism, like wondering how that would have worked, an 8-game bubble in Winnipeg. It's all in the past, though. I mean, all I'm hoping for right now is that this league can get back on, kick off, and have a great season and really have an injection of energy. That is so much needed, not just for the Canadian Football League, but for everybody right now. And I can tell you, Rod, I know it'll be the same in Saskatchewan here in Winnipeg when they finally open up the doors at IG Field and Bomber fans are able to get out there for the first time really at the stadium since the Bombers won the Grey Cup way back in 2019, over a year ago right now. It'll be a special day, and I just hope that that is replicated throughout the league when we go forward, because Canada needs the Canadian Football League. And I think, you know, I've realized how important it is to all of us through this last year when we didn't have it. You know what they say, absence makes the heart grow fonder, but never want to go through another year without the Canadian Football League. I'll tell you that.
They're going to blow the roof off these stadiums when they do come back in their fall. And it's funny when people say, what's the best atmosphere in the CFL? Quite often people say top three are Saskatchewan, Winnipeg, Ottawa. Just throw them up in the air and, you know, whoever lands. Every single venue is special, though. Everyone's great. That's why I don't really like rating them. They're all great, Huss.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And they're all different. They all have unique things that their fan bases do. And I mean, in some cities, obviously, I mean, I don't think a lot of people are going to be comparing the atmosphere in Toronto, for instance, to Winnipeg or Saskatchewan or really anywhere in the West. I mean, if you were doing a power poll, I think you'd have a pretty good idea about the teams at the top and maybe down there. But yeah, absolutely. I mean, that is one of the great things. And that is truly one of the things that I can only hope. And I know they've got bigger fish to fry right now as far as just getting back on the field and figuring things out to play again. But man, Rod, I hope we're having a conversation in 2 or 3 years about a 10th team in the Maritimes, a truly national league that would... you want to talk about excitement. I mean, that would be something. That would be one of the great road trips. I don't know what you have never been to the Maritimes. It's always been on the bucket list. And I promised myself that if there is a team there, the first time the blue and gold are out there in the Maritimes, I want to be there for it. And I guess those are fun things to think about right now. But honestly, short term, we've got to get business going again in the Canadian Football League, get selling tickets, and prepare to have fans in stands when we kick off, whenever that is, come spring, summer this year.
Andrew, as I figured, this has been fantastic, my friend. So I'll let you go and get ready for the afternoon ride, and I appreciate how great you guys are with me over there, having me on every Friday morning with Westwood and Jim Toth. And let's keep her rolling, buddy. Merry Christmas.
Listen, I just appreciate your patience of dealing with those guys in the morning. That's very noble, but you know, you've come around a lot over these years, and we'll definitely look forward to having you in the afternoon sometime soon with us. Be well. Happy holidays to everyone out there in Saskatchewan. And we'll be at each other's necks soon enough when the Bombers and Riders play.
Oh, yeah.
Fingers crossed. Right. Hope everyone has a wonderful holiday.
Thanks, Hus. Andrew right Hustler Patterson joining us from Winnipeg. And he is a beauty. The reason I'm looking down at my phone is and we were talking about great Canadian sports. And our poll question today is, which Eastern Canadian NHL team will finish highest? Our poll question is for Capital Automall Universal Collision Center. Do you want to take a stab at who's winning?
Edmonton.
Eastern Canadian.
Oh, sorry, Eastern Canadian teams. Yeah, Toronto. Montreal.
Why do you act? Oh, Toronto.
Well.
It is Toronto, by the way, but.
Yeah, like if it was a Canadian poll, we'd have a question. We'd have an actual debate. But Montreal, I don't think people, you know, hold them that high right now. And Ottawa.
It's close, Darren.
How close?
56% Leafs, 38% Habs, 6% Ottawa Senators. That's Twitter. I don't know what they're saying on Facebook, but you're no results yet, Clark tells me. So we'll put them up a little later on. I think they just posted it. Anyways,
yeah,
we'll break and come back and talk about all of this and more, including where I was confused for a drag queen last night.
It's a good story.
Stay tuned. You're watching the RP Show on Game Plus TV, Facebook Live, and Listen Live for Suds Full Service Car Wash at rodpeterson.com.
Did you know you can catch all the best moments from the show on all our social media platforms? Now back to the studio with Rod.
Welcome back, everybody. Here we are. It is Tuesday, December the 15th. Sports update, Lamar Jackson returned after being sidelined by cramps, he says, and threw a 44-yard touchdown pass to Marquise Brown, then set up Justin Tucker's 55-yard field goal with 2 seconds to go to give the Ravens a wild 47-42 win over the Cleveland Browns on Monday Night Football. The NFL's top two rushing teams combined for 9 rushing touchdowns, tying a league record set in 1922. That was a classic battle of the black and blue division, the AFC North. It did not disappoint.
I know.
We teed it up earlier in the day. Fred VanVleet showed no hint of rust, scoring 23 points in the Toronto Raptors 112-109 preseason victory against the Hornets at Charlotte. VanVleet had a strong first half, finishing 5-7 from three-point land with 21 points in 16 minutes of floor time. Rookie Malachi Flynn was the best Raptor till Fred showed up. And he had 17 points. That's pretty good for a rookie.
Oh, yeah.
Alberta's top doctor is defending the province's decision to allow the World Juniors to be played in Edmonton later this month. While restrictions and cases mount during the second wave of the pandemic, Chief Medical Officer of Health Dr. Dina Hinshaw says she feels the tournament can be safe as long as protocols are followed. The tournament's scheduled to start on Christmas Day with no fans at Rogers Place. Alim Kim birdied her last three holes, rallying from 5 shots behind with 4-under-67 to win the U.S. Women's Open. The 25-year-old South Korean won by 1 shot in frigid weather at Champions Golf Club in Houston. That makes the 9 South Korean winners in the last 13 years at the U.S. Women's Open, which reminds me of a story. When the LPGA was here for the CP Women's Open, I do remember the president of the LPGA, somewhere along the line, somebody had said there was a rule, you have to be able to speak English to be on the tour. And some people thought that was non-inclusive.
Right.
And the guy's like, we have to draw the line somewhere. There would be no North Americans on this tour because the South Koreans are taking over the tour. So it's like they're growing up and they're playing golf in South Korea.
Oh, yeah.
But they're also teaching them how to speak English. Because they want to get on the tour, and that's a rule. You have to be able to speak English. And the thing was, so you could do interviews and promote the tour, right?
Yes.
It's not that hard to figure out.
Well, and that's totally it, right? You need to attract viewers. That's how you make money. It's not about how good you are, right? It's about, can you attract viewership? Can you attract an audience? And with an audience comes advertising dollars, and that's how you get the prize money.
Well, you could see how it would be a sticky situation, but the commissioner of the LPGA, can't remember his name, but he said, oh, we're all good with South Koreans being on the tour, but you have to speak English.
Yeah.
Right? And you can see how he would get some heat over that.
Oh, yeah.
But he explained it very well. Anyways, this sports update for Ballers Rec Room. They can handle all your food and fun needs. See their website at ballersrecroom.com. And for Red Bull Canada, Red Bull gives you wings. Get ready. get ready for a fun discussion here, because Darren's been after me for, since we launched this show 381 episodes ago.
That's right.
To wear makeup on this program. And I have not. Not that I'm anti-makeup. It's just not really my thing. But last night I was killing some time in the North End, so I thought now might be a good time to get makeup. And my wife figured that she offered to help me with getting makeup and using it right, and that didn't feel right either. So I went to Shoppers, and a nice young cosmetologist by the name of Bailey was helping me out. There's Bailey. And I said, listen, I pulled up a clip of the show. I said, I host a TV show, and I need makeup for it. And she's like, why do you need makeup? I said, I've been told that I need makeup because of Under the Lights. And can you help me out with getting some makeup? Like, it was becoming uncomfortable. And she said to me, are you going to be dressing in drag? And I'm like, no. And I do have to be honest, by the way. She said, you're Rod Peterson, right? And I'm like, yes. And she said, how do you know that? And she goes, oh, I grew up a Pats fan. My dad listened to the Pats games on the radio all the time, so I know who you are. She says, more guys come in here asking for makeup because they're dressing in drag than because they're going on TV. You could see how that would be, right?
She's waiting. Can't wait to go home and tell Dad that Rod Peterson's going to dress in drag. Can you believe this?
Exactly.
Which unbelievable.
I know. So, and then she's like, what price range do you want? And I said, what price ranges are there?
Right. It's like walking in and not knowing what vehicles usually cost. And it's like, what's your budget? I'm like, I don't even know what they cost. $5? $100?
I was so clueless on this. I'd have had a better idea walking into a auto parts shop asking, you know what I mean? Yeah. And I know nothing about that either.
Yeah.
But you said you could go anywhere from $6 to $50, and you're going to need a brush, and you're going to need this and that. I'm having a nervous breakdown.
Wow.
Connor in Yorkton's watching. He says, awkward. Ian Bodnerick says, what a cutie. Are you talking about me or her? From William May, he says, double life you have going on. From Mandy in Edmonton, so did you get some new eyeshadow, Rod? Are you seeing why I was reluctant to wear makeup?
I know. And like when I first went in and did the same thing at a Shoppers, it was actually a Shoppers in Swift Current. I was doing hockey playoffs and I walked in. I'm like, okay, I need like a little crayon that I can color in this pimple and I need something for the lights. And they laugh because that's not even close to the terminology of whatever these things are called. But, you know, got to do what you got to do.
Randolph Zora, one of our viewers, says, Rod's got the natural prairie windburn. No need for makeup. I agree. Jack in Alberta, Rod, pretty boy, Peterson. It's been a long time since I've been called that, Jack. I do more often than not hear from our viewers, you look exactly like who you are and where you're from. Mm-hmm. You know, I come in here with a sunburn in the summertime. That's the way it should be. A windburn in the wintertime. That's the way it should be. And you're okay with that, right?
Oh, absolutely. We're not looking for you to cover like any of us. It's just, you know, you wear a little bit of makeup so the lights don't make it look like you just wiped a bag of chips on my forehead, you know, in the morning. But it's the power of, that's the television stuff, right?
Colin in, well, it's all new to me.
Yeah.
Colin in Ottawa says, coming to a rink or football field near you, Rue Peterson, the Queen City's newest drag-er queen. You can see it, right?
I'm smelling a special.
Tuck your sack back. We'll be right back. You're watching the RP Show on Facebook Live, Game Plus TV, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
Welcome back, everybody. I haven't laughed that hard in a long time. And I think the same might go for the rest of you people.
I just think if we were on the Game Plus hour and the closed captioner, does he look over his shoulder before he types that? Like, are you sure?
I was aware of which hour of the program I said that in, by the way. Jeff, the Stamps fan, says, are there that many people dressing in drag in Regina? Maybe there are. What about it? Got a problem with it?
If they go to...
Who cares?
If they go to Bailey, the cosmetologist, you won't be able to tell.
When we started this show, you said there should be a camera following Rod around all the time. You've been around me enough to realize that would be a show in its own.
It will be. Yeah, absolutely.
It will be. Like, this was made for TV, this moment last night.
Oh, yeah.
Are you going to be dressing in drag? No. She was just so blown away by this man asking for makeup.
To wear for anything other than drag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Viewer takeover to the Prairie Mobile text line, writing from the 536 from Leonard. I have to be honest, Rod. I will be in drags. LOL. I'm not sure what that means, but it's funny. Regarding the Edmonton team name, I don't know how this came up, but Steven in the USA texting from the 701, Edmonton leadership team name, the Jellyfish. Spineless, attempting to be politically correct. Overall, like I said, I don't care about the team names. I'm glad it's not my teams. You must have thought about your sports teams. I'm like, I'm so glad that the Pats, the Patricias aren't offensive. I'm so glad that the Rough Riders aren't offensive. Or any of these. Yours are the Leafs. Who's that? Their play's offensive.
That's about it.
Not their name.
That's about it.
The Titans, not offensive. The Blue Jays, not offensive.
You know, the Blades, the Huskies. I don't think those are offensive names. I don't think there's a chance.
The Rush.
Yeah, the Rush.
Stampeders, Jets, Blue Bombers.
But your mind goes there. Like, I think, you know.
Oh, of course.
Maple Leafs. Someone's going to say that this hockey team doesn't represent Canada, so you can't use the Canadian Maple Leaf.
That's not inclusive enough.
Right.
Mandy in Edmonton says, you should have said no, not that there's anything wrong with that. With the amount of people dressing in drag in the Queen City. It's interesting. Jeff the Stamps fan says, I don't care. I'm just surprised. Why? Because we're the sweatpants capital. We're Redneckville. We're a little behind, as everybody likes to point out. As the political analyst said in our last provincial election, which was in the fall, this is the most conservative province in the country. That we might be leading the nation in drag queens. How would we know?
How would we know? I don't. I honestly wouldn't know.
And why is everybody so awkwardly weirded out about this? Listen, I wasn't weirded out. It was just I'd never been asked if I dress in drag before.
Yeah.
It's an odd question to be asked. Jamie in Halifax writes in, says, I think the Edmonton Elks really sticks to me. And even though I'm in Eastern Canada, it's a great name. The Elks storm the field. Jamie, I'm with you. There's a million things. And just hang on that for a sec. Brooke Andrusik writes in. He says, I'm listening to Rod and the crew here in Calgary as I donate plasma blood. Thank you, Brooke, by the way. And we have partnered with the Canadian Blood Services to get the message out. And I will be donating blood between now and Christmas, by the way, because I'm going to put my money where my mouth is. Janelle in Saskatoon. I didn't understand the sweatpants capital until I paid attention to my clothing choices for a week. Yep. Everyday sweatpants. Why do you think I come up with these things? But anyways, we'll talk about it next hour. We only got 20 seconds here. But the Edmonton Elk. We got to play the sound of what the Elks, the noise they make.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, we do.
When they come onto the field, it would be ear-splitting.
I'll find it.
All right. Thanks to Hustler Patterson. Julie Robenheimer coming up in hour two. Join us on Game Plus or stay with us here on Facebook Live, y'all. Jordan has the bladder of a camel.
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.